Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Worldview is brought to you by 91. Isn't it time to change how you see investing? Visit 91.com for more. Adam, welcome. How are you doing? Happy Wednesday to you.
Yeah, happy Wednesday. Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm freaked out by the story in Germany. Whatever happened to German engineering and like the...
I know.
Too much Vorsprung. That's not funny.
And not much technique here. This is the way of the world, of course, is that, you know, we are heading towards automatic cars or automaton cars, self-driving cars, whatever you like to call them. This one is a partial self-driving car. So this is what they call a level 2 driver assistance system in a BMW, whereby systems like the brakes, automatically, it will accelerate automatically up to the speed limit. But also, unlike level 1 driver assistance, this one will take over steering. And yet, oops, Reutlingen in Germany, therefore, a partly automated BMW test car, it swerved out of its lane suddenly. There was no human control at the time. And it basically brushed into an oncoming Citroen. The BMW then hit a Mercedes van head-on. That resulted in the death of a woman inside the van. The Citroen car that had been brushed by the test car then lost control, crashed into another vehicle, two people on board. In all, one person died, 9 are seriously injured as a result of seemingly a self-driving car not driving itself terribly well. What does that tell us about the technology? We're not ready, are we? We're just not ready.
So proponents and defenders of automated vehicles will say it's human error on the other cars, that makes self-driving cars dangerous. Though this one happened to swerve.
This one seemingly swerved out of its lane and hit another car that was traveling. Yeah. It is difficult, of course, to put a computer with a human and then compare the two, because often the computer does well in all sorts of areas. But of course, what computers still can't do, and I have yet to be persuaded of this at all, that they ever will, is take in the amount of information that a human brain can and work out the sympathetic, knowing answer. In other words, if you saw a balloon bouncing out of a gate, you might think there's a children's party as a human being, and you might just automatically slow, thinking, hang on a moment, there's a balloon, it's a party. Whereas a computer will just go, it's a balloon, it's an inanimate object, it doesn't matter. Or do we build other things? How can we build stuff in? Anyway,
that's a great question.
I'm all for change. It's just sometimes you just think we're forcing things upon ourselves.
I think
we don't need to do.
I think so. I just like to master a bicycle, never mind a self-driving car. Okay, so anyway.
Take those stabilizing wheels off.
Exactly. In New Zealand, a very freaky story. Why is there a body inside a suitcase?
Yeah, we won't go too detailed on this because it's a bit horrible. But yeah, human remains in suitcases, or certainly at least, as you say, one suitcase, found in a job lot that a family had bought at an auction at a storage facility. Essentially, this is a local storage company in Auckland in New Zealand. They were selling a load of stuff off, and this family thought, well, we'll buy a load of that stuff. It's going cheap, and it might be handy. And amongst the load of stuff they bought were these suitcases, inside of which they found human remains. And indeed, there were neighbors of the family, because they didn't do it instantly either. It was a few days later. But apparently, neighbors of the family had detected a, as they put it, awful and unmistakable smell coming from the area. I think it was a warehouse or a barn they'd put this stuff. Of course, how, why, what, who, when? I mean, all the questions are there, and indeed police are investigating, and they have launched a homicide investigation. So you can't think that human remains end up in a suitcase by accident.
No. Finally, on a more positive note, the Queen of Christmas. Okay, it's only August. Who is fighting for the Queen of Christmas? I already know who the Queen is in my mind.
Okay.
Well, there are two. It's Mariah and it's Whitney.
Mariah and Whitney. Whitney didn't have too many Christmas hits, did she?
She has a whole Christmas album.
Oh, no,
it's the only acceptable joy to the world.
okay. Was that a hit, though, as such? No, I mean, I get you that most artists produce a Christmas song. I mean, for goodness sake, Coldplay have got a Christmas song, but is it a hit? I don't know. But there's a dispute.
Whitney's is a staple. It's a hit. It's recognized, yeah.
I'll give you Joy to the World. I will give you, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
But she's not in the running.
Partly
because, of course, she's not around to file her case. But Mariah Carey is certainly one of those who has laid claim to the title Queen of Christmas and is trying to prove it by trademarking the title. In fact, she filed this in March last year, but it's only just working its way through. Is now publicly known. It's still under consideration because all she wants for Christmas is to sue other people.
Well played.
Queen of Christmas. There are two other singers who have instantly claimed the same title. Elizabeth Chan, who only performs Christmas music, that's all she does, and I don't think she's an artist that I had heard of before, but anyway, she's doing her festive thing. And then 81-year-old Darlene Marshmallow World Love. Darlene Love is fabulous. I think she has a lot of great Christmas hits.
Really?
But basically, Darlene says she got there first, so Mariah can't have the title. And of course, where there's a title, there's cash. Where there's a claim, there's claim. But the only thing is, it's hardly the spirit of Christmas to claim the title and then potentially prepare for a legal battle. I'm thinking Santa will redraw his naughty list if they're not careful.
Listen, the thing is, in the same way that Love actually can claim to be the Christmas movie... You know, and it was that film that really, I know All I Want for Christmas has been there since the 90s, but that movie catapulted it again. Yeah.
With the kids doing it and that strange walk dance they do across. Yeah, I'm sort of with you. Although it's not my favorite Christmas film, but still, I'm with you. There was a thing about it. I think Mariah can probably squeak in, if only because she's alive and Whitney isn't. But Darlene Love, she's been around forever. We can't take it off her.
No,
I don't know.
Sorry, never heard of it before today. So I feel a bit bad. Alrighty, Adam, let's wrap that up. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Of Darlene Love.
Yeah, indeed. All right, I'll go check her out. Cheers. Bye, Adam. My gosh, August, and we're on the Christmas conversation, 7:15.